Hey, this is Buck Joffrey, and if you are a high-paid professional looking to break free from the golden handcuffs, listen closely. Now, I went from being a busy surgeon to a real estate investor with over $2 billion in assets under management. And now, I'm on a mission to share the wealth-building secrets of the ultra-rich with you. Imagine legally paying little or no taxes, shielding your assets from risk, and investing in distressed real estate during the current real estate meltdown. Did you know, for example, that right now, the high interest rates have created a rare chance in the market to buy discounted apartment buildings? By seizing this moment, you can position yourself for massive gains when rates inevitably drop. And I'll tell you what, that is exactly what we do in my podcast community together. Don't settle for conventional wisdom. Let me show you how the economy works and how you can use financial education to achieve true financial freedom. Tune into the Wealth Formula Podcast with me, Buck Joffrey, and take control of your financial destiny.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Simon Tierney is with me, News Talk producer, to talk about the abundance or lack thereof of things to do with kids in our cities, Simon. So I was in Dublin with the family last weekend and we went to the Explorium up the Dublin Mountains. Great crack, knocked out of it. There is such an abundance of things to do up there. But it's kind of the exception rather than the norm, I think. Is that fair?
Yeah. Well, the Explorium is basically a science museum, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if we were living in London, that would be for free because the Science Museum, one of the largest museums in London, is for free. I've been there many times. It's brilliant. And I sometimes feel this entire city that we live in here, our capital city, is behind a paywall, right? Let me give you two examples. Let me give you one good example of this. Is the Book of Kells, one of the biggest treasures in this country.
Yeah, never seen it.
You've never seen it?
No.
Good Lord.
I've seen pictures of it.
Just Google it.
Pictures of the picture. Yeah, exactly. What are all these kids complaining about? They all have Google.
Well, I'll give you my interpretation of that, right? That book has been on loan from the Bishop of Meath since 1661 to Trinity College. Trinity College don't own that book and it shouldn't be behind a paywall. It should be a free amenity for the people of Ireland and we should be able to bring our kids to it for free. But it continues to be behind a paywall. And that's just an example of the way we approach things in this country. Now, we did inherit a great tradition from the British, more generally, of free museums. So the National Gallery, the Natural History Museum, which sadly is about to close down for a period, is a classic that people bring their kids to. But those are kind of the backbone of family civic life in Dublin. But generally, I think we need to demand more from our civic amenities in this city. Like if you go to any other European city, they're going to have Lidos, public Lidos.
Yes.
We don't have a Lido in this country, let alone in the capital city. The Dublin Lido campaign are trying to build one in George's Dock, ideal place for one. No doubt they'll come up against obstacle after obstacle to try and build something for that. But I feel like this is a city designed by men for men. It's for adults.
The Most Reverend Patricia Louise Story is the current Bishop of Meath.
Patricia?
Yeah, give us
time
our book.
To call for it back.
Yeah. She should ask for the book back and she exactly. should put it on public display at no cost.
Well, she should put it on public display either in her own place down in Meath or else it should go to the National Museum of Ireland.
Maynooth actually is her base in Kildare. Bishop Maynooth. Of Meath in Kildare. So there you are. Anyway, we've kind of gone down a slight sidetrack there. I was just curious as to who actually owned
There's one other thing, right, that I would say, Kieran, is that just in terms of this idea, I've been thinking about this afternoon of a city built by adults for adults. And, you know, a lot of people will suggest that Dublin is a very walkable city, which I think it is, generally speaking. Is it buggy friendly? It can be tricky in the summer.
With the, it's not the worst on
the
that front.
The amount of build outs and outdoor furniture, but I wouldn't resent that for a moment. But what I would say is that if we take the amenities that Dublin City Council and various other public bodies provide for the city, like Dublin Bikes, right? Why are all the Dublin Bikes designed for adult use? Is there not two or three bikes at each bike station allocated and designed for children? or family cargo bikes, which are really expensive for people to buy. Why not make those available for hourly rent around the city?
I know we're kind of talking about Dublin here, but this is something that that often crops up in my mind when people talk about having people back, you know, living over the shop, as it were, in any high street in the country.
Yeah.
And I think, so that sounds great, but what family is going to want to live in a town or a city centre in Ireland? I struggle to think of many playgrounds, for example, in towns or city centres. Now, people are going to text in and say, hold on, is there not one in Merrion Square or Mountjoy Square? And there are. But, we have not designed our city centre spaces as places for people to live. They're places for people to work and visit.
I totally agree with you. And it goes beyond playgrounds. Is there a public football pitch, GAA pitch, between the canals in Dublin city centre? I don't think there is. They're all private, or they belong to schools. So I think there needs to be a cultural shift here. And I think that's what you're getting at there, Kieran. It goes beyond the amount of amenities we have, whether we have them or not. Like, think about Dublin Airport, right? The way we travel around. I was in Italy, as I mentioned to you a while ago. I was in Italy on my holidays about a month ago. And nearly every airport in continental Europe will have a family preferential lane in the security line, right? Dublin Airport doesn't have that. So the point is that we don't give... I'm saying that we should give preferential treatment to families because they're the ones who it's difficult for them to navigate a big space like an airport, and it's also difficult for them to navigate the city. So that just goes to show that we need to do more in that area, I think.
Mairead Hurley is with us as well, Assistant Professor in Science Education in Trinity College. Mairead, you're welcome to the show. Like I mentioned, the Explorium as an example of something that is available for kids close to the capital city. It is great fun. As Simon makes the point, you know, its equivalent in London is free. But I mean, are we lacking in terms of, public attractions for kids in our cities?
Hi, Kieran. Yeah, I totally agree. I really do think that we are lacking. I work in science education, but a lot of my research is around informal science learning, so how people learn science outside of school settings. And I work in have a role with the European Network of Science Centres and Museums. So I'm looking at what's going on in all over Europe, and there are countries that have networks of science centres. Like, for example, Portugal has a network of science centres. Even the Azores Islands, there's tiny islands, they've got 9 science centres alone out there. And we have one, and we have it, a private institution that is quite expensive. You know, if it may not be accessible to everybody, it's also in the capital. So I really do feel that we could do a lot better, and especially for young people with hobbies that are not GAA, that are not soccer or sports, and that are maybe not, or interests, let's say, that are not sports, that are maybe not music and theatre and drama and things like that. Science isn't really a possibility as a hobby, really, in Ireland quite often, as it is and can be in other countries.
Yeah, it was £100 for a family of 4 to go to the Explorium at the weekend. Now, if you're kind of only doing it once a year or something like that, you know, that's okay, and we're lucky enough that we could afford that. And look, I don't want to run them down because it was brilliant.
No, I
loved it. It was amazing. But it's not the type of place you're going to be kind of knocking up to every couple of weeks. Or if your kid, you know, shows an interest in something that's there, you're not going to think, right, we might go, next weekend or the weekend after, and I'll really try and kind of, kind of take advantage of that interest and see where it goes. Not at £100 a pop.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the issue is, I suppose, the business models, and to make somewhere like that possible, you know, it's quite expensive to build and to run and to maintain. So obviously the funding has to be from somewhere. And I hear the point that the other guest made about the opportunity in London to go to the Science Museum for free, which is absolutely amazing and brilliant. And then there's something in between in other places as well. So it's not free everywhere. I was just in Amsterdam and I was at the NAMO Science Center, and like that, an amazing day. I have a 6-year-old. We were thoroughly entertained and loads of great learning as well. But there was a fee, but it wasn't as high as what you mentioned there. But that's also a partnership between the City of Amsterdam, the Department of Education in the Netherlands, and then ticketing, and as well as the actual building and going inside. Outside, they have an amazing cafe on the roof that has a big water feature, and there was like hours of play there as well. So it can serve multiple purposes, these kinds of spaces.
Yeah,
and then ongoing learning as well as tourism. So for people from the country, but then also as a tourist destination for people visiting, you know.
Simon, what would you change first and foremost about the city, if you could? One thing, be it the Lido, be it the cargo bikes, what would make it a more accessible, livable and enjoyable city for families, people with kids?
Yeah. So I think we outsource too many things which should be public free amenities to corporations. And I think that needs to change. If the government really valued STEM, and which they're always talking about they do, then they would have built a science museum as a civic amenity in the city centre. I think things need to be brought back into the city centre. So many families are pushed out of the city for price reasons, rent reasons, cost of living reasons. And, you know, stuff for kids tends to be kind of on the M50. But it should be in the city. If we want to value a capital city, that's where it should be. I mean, even the even IMA, the Irish Museum of Modern Art in Kilmainham, I think it was a mistake to put it there. I don't think that's central enough. I think everything needs to be prioritised to be put into the centre of the city. Now, I know your other guest is... mentioned that a lot of these things tend to be in Dublin. But if we want to have a really world-class capital city that might compete for hosting the Olympics someday, then we need to build the infrastructure that means. And that means having all the facilities right here in the centre of the city.
Every time I hear somebody talk about the Olympics in Ireland, I'm reminded of Dustin the Turkey's great campaign, Bring the Dart to Dingle, in response to Gay Mitchell suggesting that the Olympics should come here. Mairead Hurley from Trinity College, Simon Tierney, News Talk Zone. Thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
Hey, this is Buck Joffrey, and if you are a high-paid professional looking to break free from the golden handcuffs, listen closely. Now, I went from being a busy surgeon to a real estate investor with over $2 billion in assets under management. And now, I'm on a mission to share the wealth-building secrets of the ultra-rich with you. Imagine legally paying little or no taxes, shielding your assets from risk, and investing in distressed real estate during the current real estate meltdown. Did you know, for example, that right now, the high interest rates have created a rare chance in the market to buy discounted apartment buildings? By seizing this moment, you can position yourself for massive gains when rates inevitably drop. And I'll tell you what, that is exactly what we do in my podcast community together. Don't settle for conventional wisdom. Let me show you how the economy works and how you can use financial education to achieve true financial freedom. Tune into the Wealth Formula podcast with me, Buck Joffrey, and take control of your financial destiny.